today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
The world needs the true, natural, genuine, God-created light of the world. They don't need just some false light to guide them. They need the light that's being reflected, Christ reflected in your life. Our lives should reflect Christ. Do you know that the only time the moon doesn't reflect the sun is when the world gets in the way? That's the eclipse. That's the only time a Christian's light does not shine, is when the world gets in the way.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
As believers, we've been given a task. We're to share the message of hope we have in Jesus. We're to share the truth of God's Word. This can be done both in word and in deed. Understand that as we submit to God and walk in obedience to His ways, that speaks volumes to those around us. Actions often speak louder than our own words. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message today. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13, as we conclude our message entitled, A Christian is Salt and Light.
We really shouldn't lie on any occasion. You shouldn't lie to your boss. You need to trust the Lord. I've always lied. That's how I get by. And it's just to protect myself. And it stings. You are salt, purifying. You're an antiseptic, helping to heal things and make things cleaner. Your presence helps slow the spread of sin. When we're removed, it's going to be something to behold, and thank God we will only behold it. Salt gives flavor to things. More than just giving flavor, it also creates a thirst. As a Christian, God does a work in you, and yes, you are a salt. Yes, it stings, but you shouldn't be an offense. And what I mean is not the cross in you, Christ in you being an offense, righteous deeds, but you shouldn't be an offensive person. Always nitpicking, always nagging, always your light shining, but you got to tell everybody too about your light shining. So you're not just the light, you're like a foghorn also. Look at my righteousness. Look what I'm doing and look what you're doing. Jesus said, that's not what I want. He said, you know, don't let your right, when you do your charitable deeds, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Just be salt and light. It'll be enough. And when the questions are asked or when the opportunities are given, then you share Christ. You share your motivation. You share what's going on so people can know. See, by our character and our conduct, by the changes taking place in our lives toward purity and righteousness, it should create a thirst in people. And they'll thirst for what you have. And they'll find out what you have. It's Christ. Salt is also, to use a modern day illustration, not to be left in the shaker. You don't season anything by keeping salt in the shaker. It's good for nothing. Salt must be poured out, right? On that which is supposed to season. The Christian, we're told, I'm not taking you out of the world, but I'm going to leave you in the world, but you're not of the world. That's the idea. Why are you where you are? What do you do where you are? Do you have two separate lives? Do you just put on different clothes and different things and you're around God's people and yeah, we're all good. Hey, brother, how you doing, brother? You don't talk brother out there all the time. We need to be genuine people. We need to be Christians who let that internal work go on everywhere. And you are where you are to be salt and light. If all we do is hang out in the church and we don't let our light shine in the world, then we're like salt that's lost its saltiness. We're only good in the shaker, and that does absolutely nothing in the world. Jesus said, if the salt loses its flavor, it's not good for anything but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You know, when a surgeon is going to perform surgery, doesn't it make you feel better when you see them reach into the utility drawer and grab out one, and not just grab out one, they take it out of the package and you hear it even break. You're like, oh, that's a clean one. You can cut me with that. You can do your surgery with that. That's fine. I know. That's a good, clean instrument. Aren't you concerned? You lay on there. Well, you're out. But sometimes you get to look over there. Where are they pulling that from? Is it a junky, messy drawer? Are they blowing out cobwebs and pulling out their thing to do some work on me? You don't want that, right? You don't want somebody poking you or working on you with that kind of an instrument. Well, God doesn't work with those kind of instruments. Your life, is it clean? Are you following the Lord? Are you pursuing Him? Because if you want to be used, if you want to be that scalpel that He would reach in and say, oh, here's a clean instrument, here's a useful instrument, then something's got to change. You got to let Him clean you. You got to let that salt become salty. That comes through taking in the Word of God. Let me read something Charles Spurgeon said. No wise man would pour his wine into foul bottles. No kind and good parent would allow his children to go to see an immoral play. And God will not go to work with instruments which would compromise His own character. Dear brethren, I do beg you to attach the highest importance to your own personal holiness. Do live unto God. If you do not, your Lord will not be with you. He will say of you, as He said of the false prophets of old, I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Why is the church not profiting the people at all? It could be that we've allowed too much compromise into the church. Because you got to be honest, there are a lot of churches and a lot of Christians in the world, and yet we can't do anything compared to what 12 committed disciples did. We can't do it at work. We can't do it anywhere. With as many Christians as there are, the world should be saved or repulsed, one or the other. And yet that's not happening. We have got to let God do that internal work. We've got to respond to Him. I say, we've got to. Like it's your job to do it. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is let Him minister to you and then respond. You don't even have to be all that creative. He does the work. He's the creative one. He ministers and then you respond. You let Him lead. And He says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. He's saying that because you're a light, you're supposed to be on display. People are supposed to be aware of you. It's not like I want to light a light and put it under something. He wants you to shine. He has you doing certain things and changing certain things so that people see it. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed of Him or the work that He's doing. Be thankful that He would be doing a work in you. A few things about light. One, light exposes darkness. Again, darkness does not like to be exposed by light. That's why we do things in the darkness, in the secret. When you're doing something wrong, I see it in my kids, and I know it happens as an adult also. Anytime you're doing something wrong, you want secrecy. You want privacy. You lock doors. You close doors. You make sure no one can see. That's darkness. That's the condition of the world. We want to make sure that I don't want there to be a God. Because if there is a God, this is bad. So I'm just going to pretend He's not here. And He can't see me. Like a little child. You can't see me. Got my eyes covered. You can't see me. I'm in the cookies. You can see Him. God can see the world. God can see you. You are a light in the world. One of the reasons that we offend is that the world is operating in such darkness. And because of your light, you offend. Because have you ever had a light turned on? You're sleeping. You've been sleeping all night. And all of a sudden, oh man, it's just too much. Pupils got to dilate and it's just way too much. Well, what happens in the life of somebody who's in sin, who's been comfortable with sin, everybody's been making them, all their friends that they've surrounded themselves with accept these things, and it's all good. Well, when someone changes from that party, or when someone comes into their circle of influence, their lives, and says, hey, that's not really right, or oh, I don't do that, it shines a light, and it's like, oh, man. No one's ever said that was wrong before. Well, maybe you've had a light turned on now. And I would ask the Lord, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, if He's bringing that light. And here's a way you can tell. I won't be the only light. See, I may shine a light in your life, but I won't be the only source. Because you're not to become like me. You're to become like Christ. And so look around you. See what other things God may be saying. Maybe it's the Lord. Maybe He's speaking to your heart. Light exposes the darkness. Light also lights the way. You don't just expose darkness and show sin. You also show the way. Little light can make a lot of difference. Sometimes I'll take my little phone and at night, just to make my way through to the kitchen or something like that, getting water, no midnight snacks, get some water. And I can use my little light. Because I have gone and tried to make the trip without any light at all. And sometimes it doesn't work out too well. So to avoid a broken toe, you take a little light. Well, the world is lost. They don't know how to navigate their way out of this mess. They have a sense something's not right. There's got to be more. They just don't know where it is. How do I find it? Well, that's where you come in. That's where your light makes a difference. The reason that you are a light is not just because you're a saved, Spirit-filled Christian. It's because your life is built upon the Word of God. It's His Word they begin to see. They begin to see His truth realized in your life. So it's not just about, I'm saved, just listen to me, I'm a Christian, follow me, it's about Jesus. Blah, blah, blah. No, the light is God's Word does a work in your life. They begin to see the results of that Word and work going on in your life, and they start to ask those questions, and your answers are His Word, not your opinion. Psalm 119:105 says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So as we ground ourselves on His Word, as we become changed, influenced by His Word, our lights shine for His glory. Now, I want to talk about another light, and it's called reflective light. You know, a flashlight, or even the sun, let's use the sun. The sun gives off its own light. It has its own energy, and it gives off its light. The moon is different. In that the moon is a reflective light. The moon reflects light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. See, you're a light in the world only in that you reflect Christ. If you're not reflecting Christ, you're a flashlight. And not sunlight. The world needs the true, natural, genuine, God-created light of the world. They don't need just some false light to guide them. They need the light that's being reflected, Christ, reflected in your life. Our lives should reflect Christ. Do you know that the only time the moon doesn't reflect the sun is when the world gets in the way? That's the eclipse. That's the only time a Christian's light does not shine, is when the world gets in the way. We have to be careful that we don't shine our light for the sake of our own desires. We don't shine a light for the sake of our own glorification. Some are hard on their children, Very hard. You look at them and you go, wow, such great behaved kids. They're scared to death kids. But you look at them and the reason they're so well behaved is not because the parents love their children and they're trying to teach them godliness, but that the parents are so driven by looking good that they're so hard on the kids that the kids are little prisoners in their own home and the parents look good. And it's for our own glory. And children raised in that kind of environment are not in a good place. However, if we teach our kids and train them in the ways of the Lord, teach them the Word of God, then they have something substantial to hold on to rather than just looking good as a child. And so we want to make sure that we're not doing things for our glory, but for God's glory and because we love Him and we love others. Some want public positions and so they do everything. They're the greatest servant anywhere at everything. But they're not doing it because they're trying to please the Lord and honor Him and give their lives a sacrifice. They're doing it for a position. And you can find this out because if you wait long enough, they get frustrated, upset. How come I'm not doing this? How come I'm getting overlooked? How come you didn't? Oh, because we've seen little hints of why you're doing this. And now we see more hints. When we just serve the Lord, we do everything He wants us to for the joy of what we talked about earlier in the study, like that child who just wants to please his father. You give everything to him, and that's why we do it. If our goal isn't to bring glory to God, but to us, we can end up becoming selfish, harsh, and unloving. If you want to make converts because you want to just win arguments, that isn't going to minister to anyone. You can win all the arguments you want, but no one comes to faith because they've lost an argument. They must see the light of Christ. They must see genuineness. And so he says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let me put the emphasis on there. Let your light so shine. Let them shine in this way. What way? That they might look at your works and glorify God. Not look at your works and glorify you, but glorify the Lord. You, Christians, are commissioned to be salt and light in the world. Unbelievers cannot see spiritual things. You can. They can. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says they are spiritually discerned. They don't have a clue. That's what that means. Now, they have no problem. You know, they have a problem with God. I don't see Him. And I can see some effects of what you guys call God, but that's just religion. Every religion, they can be moral. And they have a problem with God because He's invisible. But they have no problem with their little devices going through Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but I have faith in it. If I type in the code, I'm going to have some stuff going on. I'm going to have information, all my email, YouTube, everything I need, you know, Google. But with the Christian, when they look at you and your life, they often want to disassociate you from God. Oh, it's the Lord. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I need to know what's going to transform my family. Well, let me tell you, it's the Lord. No, not the Lord. I don't want the Lord. I don't want the church. I want to know what'll change my family. They don't want the Lord. But the truth is, when you are reflecting Christ, all you can talk about is the Lord. The only explanation is the Lord, not a self-help thing. Well, I followed this model. I did this. I did that. Yeah, there's some techniques. There are some good things. But you can't technique God. It is the Lord. And we need to reflect His light. The world is blinded to anything beyond this life. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that Satan has blinded them lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What happened is Satan has upstaged the eternal by flashing temporal things before the eyes of men, goals, desires, lusts. And we seek after those temporary things. Scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God. But see, Satan has us too busy to even look up to the heavens and be in awe of what God has done. So many, when they look at the heavens, they go, wow, man, this is awesome. God, you are awesome. It inspires, but we're too busy for that. Satan has us so distracted. It was looking up at the heavens that caused David to remember how awesome God was, and how could you even be mindful of me? How insignificant he was. Ecclesiastes 3 says he has put eternity into man's heart. But see, here's what happened. Man has a longing. Man knows there's something more. Eternity has been placed in every heart. We're longing. Dogs aren't longing. No animal is longing. We're not like the other animals. We are different. We worship. We enshrine. We lift up things that we worship, objects of worship. Dogs aren't out there making posters of their favorite athlete or their favorite breed. We do. We lift. We worship. We're building churches. Because there is a spiritual dimension about man that is not true of any animal. Because God has put eternity in our hearts. But here's the problem. We have become so busy, we don't have time to think about that eternity that's in our heart. We're so busy. We can't think about eternity. I got to worry about next week. Man, I'm so loaded. I got to have several devices now to keep up with my schedule. And we cannot consider the things of God. We don't understand the importance of the Sabbath. You see, that's the importance of a Sabbath, a day of rest. Do you know what Israel was supposed to do? They were supposed to refrain from working. They were supposed to refrain from making progress on life and providing for self so they could think about God. Because God knew man needed time to contemplate Him, to think about Him, to remember how big He is and how little everything else is, to including ourselves. We need that time. We need time to consider Him. A Christian is to be salt and light for the glory of God. When you show up submitting yourself to an invisible God, living for eternity instead of for the now, when you are showing value to life, giving value to life, you are honoring God, and it shines a light of God's truth in the world. The world doesn't want that light, but we're to shine it anyway. You see, the world doesn't need us to show them rules and religion, religious activity. They don't need another goody two-shoes or moral person. What our life as salt and light should reveal to them is this, that God is, and that He has revealed Himself to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. What they see in you more than anything is that God is. He's here. He speaks. He guides. He gives hope. That's what they need to see in us. We can't promote ourselves and glorify God. We can't be busy building up something for ourselves and building up the kingdom of God. We must become salt and light. That internal work must be going on. People may never read the Bible, but they will see your life. And I'll close with this little quip that I remember from, I think it may have been Skip Isaac. You are revealing the gospel a chapter each day by the things that you do and the words that you say. People hear what you say and they see what you do. So what is the gospel according to you? Our lives are light and salt. Let's remember that as we live and as we sense that work of God in our hearts.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper. I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.